morning. A beautiful day out there. The weather this week is supposed to be a little crazy, up and down. Some chilly days and some nice days. And hey, it's spring, you know. That's what we get, but that's okay. It's good to be here on sacred and holy ground. Once again, let us check our baggage at the door. Let's be open to receive the word that God has for us today. Let's be willing to believe that God is greater not only than any problem that we have, but God is greater than any good thing in our life too. God is the greatest. And Jesus said, you got to love me more than you love life itself. So let's put Jesus first right now. Let's ask God, what is it that you want of me today? Let that be our attitude today. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we gather together here in this place to worship you, to praise you, to bring honor and glory to your holy name. We gather together in this place as a witness to the rest of the world that we are your children called by your name. We gather together in this place, God, to glorify you, to become more like Jesus. So have your way with us. Pour out your spirit upon this service that it would be pleasing to you, God, and that it would be life-changing to us so that we would act differently at home and at work. Pour out your spirit, Lord, upon this service. And we pray that we are empty vessels filled up with that spirit, guided and directed by you. Fill us with love for one another and especially with love for you. For we ask it all in Jesus' name, and all of God's children said, amen. The peace of Christ be with you. Please pass the peace of Christ to your neighbor.
Good morning. I offer a warm welcome to all present, and especially our visitors. And as you make your way back to your seats, don't have to run, we have plenty of announcements this morning. Just a reminder, please sign the registration sheet in the red folder located at the end of your pew and pass it to others, bringing it back to the center aisle. Also, if you have a prayer request this morning, complete the index card that you'll find in those red holders. Complete that card and put it in the clear holder at the end of your pew, and the ushers will bring it forward to Pastor Bruce. Our memory verse for April is printed at the top front page of your bulletin. Join me now, and we will recite it twice through. John 11:35, Jesus wept. John 11:35, Jesus wept. We have many announcements, and we're going to start them off with our music director, Diane Runser.
It's coming up really quick for the Living Last Supper. There are still some pocket posters out on the narthex table, and the last I checked, there were still one or two paper posters. There are yard signs still available, so I'd ask you to please take those and continue to publicize the event through the rest of the community. On the clipboard today, there are two sheets. The top sheet is to request people to provide food for the youth group on Wednesdays. Looks like they're asking for typical teenage dinner food. The list is in your bulletin, but I'm sure if it's edible, they'll eat it. The second list has still some things where we needed help with the Last Supper, including a cookie donation. If you are going to make some cookies for the reception on Tuesday, you may either bring them in next Sunday and leave them, in the parlor, or you may bring them Tuesday when you come for the performance. That would be great. So we'll pass that around. Now we have to get ready for Holy Humor Sunday on April 30th. It's a time to continue to spread the joy of the Easter season. We ask that each of you make your Holy Humor hat. Hopefully you've been putting your thinking caps on and coming up with something. Wear a hat that day of some sort. Wear something on your head. That leaves a lot of room. Also, we're going to have a luncheon afterwards, a Holy Humor luncheon, so I ask that you make a dish to pass for, like, say, 10, 12 people. The only requirement is that it be edible. You may name it anything you want. It can look like anything you want. it just has to taste good because we always like food. Thank you.
Thank you, Diane. A few other announcements. A reminder that the deadline for registration for leadership training is this Friday, April 7th. So please check your bulletin for specific details or talk to Pastor Bruce after our service today, and that's for lay leadership training. Also coming up at the end of this week, the 10th annual Race for Grace. It will be held this Saturday, April 8th at Norwin High School. First Church, our church, does have a team, runners and walkers. We are the First United Methodist Church of Irwin. If you are still interested, you can register for that. There are details. As a reminder, this is in memory of little Grace Ekus, who was Reverend Funk's granddaughter that passed on to her heavenly home from brain cancer. Also, next Sunday is the annual egg hunt that's held on Palm Sunday, and that's next Sunday, starting in the elementary K through 4 level on the mezzanine. You can hear the story of Holy Week and Easter, and then the egg hunt follows in the gym. Lots of treasures and treats to be enjoyed by everyone. And I would ask that you do check your bulletin for the remainder of our announcements and other activities in the life of our church. And the best part of today, or one of the best parts, oh, I see Chris coming, a reminder that we do have a coffee hour. And our coffee hour, for those not familiar, it's a time to continue friendship and some coffee and punch and other sweet treats. So we hope you'll join us for coffee hour after our service today. We have one announcement. Chris?
I know it's a little late, but there was some confusion over the spring lay speaker courses this year because they looked really goofy. If anyone is interested in taking any of the courses, first, the cost is $20 for the course. They're going to be held at the Latrobe United Methodist Church this year. Apparently, they're splitting up spring and fall to make it easier for people to attend more than one class each year. The times will be 2 to 5. The two classes that they're offering this year are Leading Worship and Let's Preach for this spring. The dates are April 23rd through May 21st. That would be just the Sundays between those dates, 2 to 5, at Latrobe United Methodist Church. Unfortunately, the deadline, if you're interested in any of those classes, is this Friday. You can... I'm sorry? Oh, okay. So if you do need to register or want to register, I'll be down front later, and I can get you the info.
Thank you, Chris. Now we'll turn our hearts and minds to our worship.
Thank you. I am James, the son of Zebedee. I remember the Garden of Gethsemane. Christ said, come with me and pray. And we did. Peter, James, and John, Thomas, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Simon the Zealot, Thaddeus, and me. Only one of the 12 of us was missing. Judas. Judas Iscariot. I remember that there in the growing darkness, beneath the gnarled olive trees, Christ knelt and poured out his heart to his Father. If it is your will, Father, please take this cup from me. And we slept. Jesus continued to pray, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken from me until I drink it, then your will be done, O Father. And we slept. He prayed, not my will, but your will, O God. And still we slept. He said to us, for the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. My soul aches with sorrow. We said, Lord, we are here for you. He asked us, stay with me a while. And we answered, Lord, you know we will. I think he was irritated with us. He said, can you not even stay awake long enough to keep watch with me? We started to protest, but Lord. But then he said, behold, the hour is at hand. Here's my betrayer now. Lord, we acknowledge the times that we have failed you, just like the disciples did so long ago in the garden. As these flames are taken away from these candles, remove our sins from us. We remember your pain as we snuff out yet one more of your light.
Please stand and follow in your bulletin under the heading of Call to Worship, reciting your response to my prompt. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice.
Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications.
If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand?
There is forgiveness with you, that you may be worshipped.
I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. In the Lord's word, I hope.
My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. More than those who watch for the morning.
O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love. With the Lord is plenteous redemption.
And the Lord will redeem Israel from all iniquities.
Please remain standing for hymn number 261 in your red hymnal, and that will be followed by our unison prayer, which will be the Apostles' Creed.
Thank you.
please remain standing and turn in your hymnal to page 888 for our Apostles' Creed. 881, excuse me, the Apostles' Creed. Join me now. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated.
Fist bump. Okay. Who loves us? Jesus loves us bunches and bunches and bunches. You know that you and I believe, we both believe in the laws of nature. We believe that the sun's going to come up every morning. We believe that, well, we'll see what that ball says. Smile, God loves you. What do we believe about this ball? If I do this, what happens when I throw it up? Okay, it goes up in the air. Then what happens? Why does it come back down? Because it can't stay up here because it's heavy? What makes it heavy and why can't it stay up here? Gravity. Yes, we believe in the law of gravity. That's why my chest has fallen down to here. Yes. Law of gravity. Jesus wants us to believe in him as much and even more than we believe in the laws of nature. Because that's what the law of gravity is. It's a law of nature. He wants us to trust him for everything. To not be afraid. That no matter where we go and what we do, to know that Jesus loves us. And that there are things that he wants us to do, and it doesn't matter how hard it is to do them. He wants us to trust in him. Let me show you something about trust. I need a volunteer. I need one of you to volunteer. Eeny, meeny, miny, miny. Well, we'll do both of you, but first we'll do her. Okay, stand right here. I need three guys. You could be gals, too. I need three strong adults. Three adults. Yes, Mike. Come on, just. I need you to stand behind her. Nope, not you, dear. You stand over here. You're going to do this in a moment. There, and on this side, and you're on this side. Okay. You're going to catch her. So come on up here by her. Okay. Now, look behind you. See, there's somebody back there. Somebody on either side of you, okay? You guys get ready to catch her. I want her, you know, I don't want you to stop her from falling. I want you to catch her after she falls, okay? They're not going to let you hit the floor. I want you to, wait a minute. We're trusting. Remember, this is all about faith. Trusting. We trust in Jesus. We're going to trust in these guys. We're going to trust that the law of gravity is going to make you fall. I want you to close your eyes. On the count of three, I want you to just fall backwards. Mike's right behind you. They're not going to let you fall. They got their hands out. Okay? Wait, come back here, Mike. Come back. Oh, no, he's still there. He's still there. Okay, ready? Close your eyes. One, two, three. Oh, yes. You had to take that step backwards, huh? Okay, that's all right. Let's try the next one. Come on up here. Okay. Same thing. Put all your faith in these guys. They're not going to let you get hurt. They're going to catch you. Okay? Close your eyes. I want you to fall straight backwards on the count of three. One, two, three. Oh, yeah. That's okay, dear. Go have a seat.
I need a volunteer to do this. Come on down. All three of you can come down. You guys going to catch me? Hey, don't let me build up any momentum. Ah, confirmation guys. Axel. Okay. All right. Close your eyes. You guys can't catch them from there. You're going to come up. Oh, they still are. Okay. On the count of three, close your eyes. Got to keep them closed. One, two, four. You took a step back here, Axel. Next. Okay. Ready, guys? On the count of three. One, two, three. Okay, boys, yeah, she trusted. Yes, that's right. Very good. Next. Okay, now let her drop a little further. Don't let her bounce off the floor, but let her drop a little further, okay? Right. Okay. All right. On the count of three. One, one and a half, two, three. Oh, yeah, took that step back. Okay, next. Savannah, confirmation class. Okay, now she's a long, tall drink of water. You got to give her room. Okay, they're going to catch you. They're going to catch you. You guys promise you're going to catch her? Okay, try. All right, on the count of three, we're having faith. One, two, three. Okay, very, very good. Okay, thanks, guys. Thank you. All right. Trust in Jesus. More than you trust in life itself, trust in Jesus, that Jesus will always be there for you, that he loves you bunches and bunches, and that the things that Jesus wants us to do, it'll put a smile on his face. And it's more important to obey Jesus than it is to obey anybody else. Trust in Jesus, okay? All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us so much that you sent your Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us. Help us to trust in you so that we'll always obey you. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all of God's children said, Amen. Amen. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, choir. Our word of God this morning is from the New Testament in Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8, verses 6 through 11, and that is the Revised Standard Version, your pew Bible. Hear these words from Paul. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, you are in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although your bodies are dead because of sin, your spirits are alive because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies, also through his Spirit which dwells in you. And may our Lord God add his blessings to Paul's words.
Page 34 of your hymnal. This is Stephen Mannion, Pastor Stephen Mannion, our youth pastor. Steve wants to be more than just youth pastor. He wants to be your pastor along with me. And Stephen is holding all kinds of youth activities. You can see them in the bulletin and in the newsletter and that. If you have any questions about our youth, you feel free to ask Stephen. And he extends this invitation not just to our youth, but to the youth of the community. And also he's offering a Bible study for all the adults beginning...
The first Thursday of May. It's 7 o'clock on Thursdays.
And how long is it?
For 10 weeks.
Okay, 10 weeks. And it is called...
It's based on Francis Chan's book called Crazy Love, so it's a study of the book, the Bible, and little video clips that he records.
Yep, and Francis Chan is one of the leading Bible study authors that of our age. He's very good. So we'll offer that. For today, I want you to hear Stephen's confession of faith here. So follow along on page 34. Stephen, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness and reject the evil powers of this world and repent of your sin? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
Stephen, will you nurture all of our children, our youth, in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example they may be guided to accept God's grace for themselves, to profess their faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, answer, I will.
I will.
Once again, Stephen, I anoint you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you pour out your Spirit upon Stephen and that you would anoint him, Lord. Anoint him as a pastor in this church. Anoint the ministry, Lord, that it would grow in leaps and bounds under his tutelage and guidance. Pour out your Spirit upon him. Fill him with wisdom and a mind for details. Give him the words to speak to the youth, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that through his ministry, he will reach out and touch many of the lives of the youth, not only in this church, but in this community. Come, Holy Spirit, and you, Stephen, as you see fit. Move through him, Lord. Bless him and his life in every area. Form a hedge of protection around about him. Raise up people to assist him. Pour out your Spirit upon Stephen, God, and keep him safe. Anoint him, so that what he does, this ministry, will bring honor and glory and praise to your holy name. For all of this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
At this time, I would ask our ushers to come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offering.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name. And Lord, we cheerfully, thankfully, we give unto you these offerings and these gifts. We pray, Lord, as you would bless and multiply them and use them as you see fit, God, according to your Holy Spirit, through the ministries of this church. Use them, use us, for the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ, a gospel that has resurrection power, that can heal lives, make people whole again, that can change the world. So we pray, Lord, that you would bless these gifts, bless us under your service, bless both gift and giver, those who are able to give and those who weren't. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, now you look like really joyful people. What do you have to be joyful about?
Sunshine.
What's this? Turned 43 yesterday. I don't see a cane. What is that? 43, happy birthday. Sunshine.
And I would like to let everybody know it's a big joy in our life that after almost 20 years of ups and downs, we can announce today that Heather has been appointed as pastor of the Kohlberg United Methodist Church in Hubbard, Ohio. It's near Youngstown, so she's even going to be closer to home. And she asked me to thank all of you for your prayers and support over all these many years. Thank you.
Thank you to the man upstairs.
Amen.
It's been very, very rough for her. Thank God she found the church.
They found her. They're
Other joys.
Friends and family.
87 years on Thursday. All right. Ice. Okay. Other joys. Health. Yep, for good health. For health such that it is. If you're thankful for all your blessings, if you're thankful for the little stuff in your life too, and, you know, and I love trying to think of examples of little things. You know, pencils, Kleenex, slippers,
indoor
Q-tips,
plumbing.
Indoor plumbing, always my favorite. Yes. Handy wipes, paper towels, shoelaces, pennies. Boy, the list goes on. Our pets, TV. Just all of that stuff. If you're thankful for all these things, raise your hand. Wave it in the air and say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Okay. We are a charismatic church. That's what I like. Now for our concerns, your pens and your pencils. This prayer homework belongs to all of us. So pray about these things till God releases you. Pray for our country and our country's leaders, always, at all levels of the government. Pray for our church, for the finances, for the ministry and outreach, discipleship making, worship, fellowship, our youth group, Bible studies, just all of that. Pray for our church. Pray for our youth group and Pastor Stephen. For the Gregory family, Jan passed away at the age of 54 yesterday. Pray for Jeff. My sister Midge broke her back. My Uncle Bruce, who's been sent home on hospice care, and my Aunt Pat. I'd appreciate your prayers for them. Pray for Shirley. And Sean and Bruce, pray for addicts. Any addicts you may know, pray for those who are caught up in the life of addiction. We think mostly of drugs, but there's a lot of addictions. And pray for their family and friends. They suffer as well. Pray for those who are lost. Who else would you have us pray for? That's all right, Connie. We're good.
Pastor, at the nursing home that I was preaching in earlier today, one of the workers there had a 19-year-old daughter that had a softball-sized tumor in her brain that had actually pushed everything forward, causing her to go blind. They were able to do surgery, and removed 90% of this tumor. She is recovering and doing better. Still blind at the moment. Don't know if that's going to come back or not. Hopefully with the...
She have a first name? Or
The young girl's name is Mia. But she needs continued prayers for further healing.
Okay, pray for Mia.
My grandmother, Eleanor.
Heather, pray for Heather.
Eleanor.
Eleanor. Eleanor. Pray for Eleanor. Okay, Danny, I got that part. What's the?
Kayleen.
Okay. What was that name again? Feet. B. B-E-A. B. Gotcha. Deaf in one ear, can't hear out what's left of the other. Okay. Pray for good test results. Okay, I'm going to pray for a preemie.
Becky.
Becky.
Our military.
Men and women and their families in the military. If you have an unspoken request, just raise your hand. Let that be your act of faith. And for all of these concerns, we say, Lord, hear our prayers. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name. And God, thank you. We indeed are a blessed people. And help us, God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, to use our blessings wisely, to use them as you intended us, in order to be a blessing to others so that they too will come to know the love of Jesus Christ. And God, we pray that you would do a mighty work in our lives and in the lives of others, people that we've made known to you, spoken and unspoken. For we lift them up into the light and love of your presence, because we believe in your power to heal, to change, to make new, whatever the situation is. You are greater than any problem. We have favor with God and man. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. With you, God, all things are possible. And the chastisement of our peace is upon Jesus. And by his stripes we are healed. It is written. And so by faith we lift up into the light and love of your presence our country and our country's leaders, men and women and their families in the military, our church here, the ministries, our community. We lift up to you Pastor Stephen and the youth ministry, Gregory, the Halls of Family. Lift up to you Jeff and Midge, Uncle Bruce and Aunt Pat, Shirley. Lord, we're praying for good test results. It's our prayer, Lord, that there is nothing hidden which shall not be revealed and then quickly and easily taken care of. We lift up to you Sean and Becky and Bruce and Kayleen and Danny and Debbie and Bea and Mia and Eleanor. We lift up to you, Lord, those who are lost, who don't know you. Addicts, Lord, their family and friends, set them free. We lift up to you, God, the unspoken request to come, Holy Spirit. Come and do a mighty work here. You know the details. And greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. And we will be careful to give you and you alone all the honor and the glory and the praise. For this we pray in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We are going to read from the Gospel according to John, chapter 11, beginning with verse 1. Please stand for the reading of the Gospel. This is the word of the Lord. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you are going back?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." This is the word of God for the children of God. Please be seated. I'm going to read you a little bit more. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. It was a custom in that day that for funerals and to comfort people, they actually had women who were professional mourners. And they would come to funerals and these solemn occasions, and they would be dressed in dark clothing, and they would wail and moan and cry out, and it was their custom. It's what they did. They helped people through their grief. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." You know, our brains are amazing organs. The brain and the spinal cord make up the central nervous system. And we have all this gray matter, and there's all these different parts to the brain, and they have all these different functions. There's the right hemisphere, the left hemisphere, the frontal lobe, you know, and the brain takes in all this information from our senses, from the things that we touch and hear and smell and see. And the information we give our brain. We program our brains with the learning that we go through life, not just our experiences, but things that we read about and listen to and that. And then our brains process all of that, and our brains tell our body what to do, how to react. Computers are a lot like that. You know, computers, the processor in the computer takes all the information that we program it with, and it analyzes it, and then right away puts it back out into whatever project we program it to do. Pretty interesting stuff. We live by how we process empirical data. And that empirical data is the information that's all around us in the world. Martha and Mary and all the Jews that came out of Jerusalem to help them, as far as they were concerned, Lazarus was a goner. He was dead. Another thing that they believed in their day was that the soul hung around the body for 3 days. That there was always a chance of revival. There was always this hope that something could be done within 3 days, because that's how long the soul stuck around the body even when they died. 4 days, you're a total goner. And so Lazarus had been dead 4 days. So as far as Martha and Mary and all the others who were gathered there were concerned, their brains told them there was no hope for Lazarus. And Jesus, of course, he comes and he's on his way. And even before he gets there, Martha goes out and meets him. And Martha says, if you'd only been here, this wouldn't have happened. Martha, don't you get it? Your brother will rise again. Oh, I know he'll rise on the last day. He'll rise in the resurrection of the dead on the last day when the Lord comes back again and all of creation is judged. I know that that'll happen. Jesus said, nope. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. I bring the power of resurrection with me. Martha, that's who I am. You got to understand that, Martha. Don't you believe? She goes, yeah, I believe that you are the Messiah come into the world, the one that God would send. Things are not always what they appear to be. Jesus says that he who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Wait a minute. There we go. Hi. The one who lives and believes in me will never die. Never die. How hard it is to do a funeral for somebody who never believed in Jesus. That's tough. I mean, it's tough on me. Family don't seem to care. Who cares, you know. They're dead, just get them buried. Don't you understand? Wow. Doing a funeral for a Christian, it's a heartbreaker, but it's still, hey, we're celebrating. We're celebrating because we know that this is not the end. Death is not the end of life. Not for anybody. It's heaven or hell after that. It's just a change of location. Things are not always what they appear to be. See, in the flesh, Lazarus was beyond living again. All they believed in was what they could see at the moment. In the world, this is how things work. We judge by the things that we see around us. Even a lot of us Christians, we still judge by what things appear to be. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. You hear me quote that a lot. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. The world judges things according to what they see. But things are not always what they appear to be, especially when you have faith and you're willing to trust. You're willing to let go. Trust in the things that you can't see. Proverbs chapter 3 says, lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways, trust in God. With your whole heart, trust in God.
The power of God can resurrect the dead. The power of God can even resurrect those who appear to be dead. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of dead among us. A lot of dead. How many people here have watched The Walking Dead? How about World War Z? Savannah and I were talking in confirmation class. Boy, we just loved that movie. Brad Pitt, great movie. Zombies, you know, it's really, really weird stuff, okay? Things are not always what they appear to be. According to John chapter 3, verse 18, whoever believes in Jesus is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already. See, there are those people who, just like Lazarus, are laying in a tomb, and they're dead. Dead in their sins, dead in their addiction. There are people who are wrapped up in grave clothes, just like Lazarus was. They're wrapped up in abuse. They're wrapped up in addiction. They're wrapped up in fear and anxiety, depression. People who are socially, mentally, emotionally dead, economically bound up. There are a lot of people who are suffering, who they are not able to see the light of day because they are so oppressed in this life, in this world, and they're all around us. They may even be here. There are people dealing with all kinds of burdens and issues. They can't live life to the fullest, which is what Jesus said, I've come to give you life and to give you life more abundantly. And yet we can't do it because we can't find the joy. And Jesus said that the things that I have done, you will do in greater things. Think about that. Jesus said that. The things that I have done, you will do in greater things. Are you ready? Lazarus, come forth. It's what Jesus said with a loud voice after they rolled the stone away. First they had to complain, it's going to stink. He's been rotting for 4 days. Jesus says, it doesn't matter. Don't judge by what you see. Just know that I have resurrection power. I am the resurrection and the life. His followers, he sent out and gave them authority over every kind of disease and infirmity. And they cast out demons. And they healed people left and right. They even raised the dead. Jesus has given us resurrection power to do the same thing for the people who are dead in this world and in our lives. To set them free from the things that bind them. To call them out of that pit of despair. That's the mission of the church. It's what we are supposed to do, is to bring life to a dead world. We say our prayers, but we act like they're magic words, and then we walk away and hope it worked. I'm saying, man, get riled up, get worked up, get fired up. Be bold in your faith. Go into somebody's life who you know is struggling and take authority over that situation in the name of Jesus Christ and tell them, Lazarus, come out. Come out of that pit. Come out of there. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in this world. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. I can't do it. I can't do it. With God, all things are possible. The Bible tells us to resist the devil. He will flee from you. Draw near to God and God will draw near to you. Take authority and be bold in your faith, because people need us to do that. Otherwise, we're going to leave them in the tomb. And when he said, Lazarus, come out, Lazarus came out wrapped in grave clothes, and Jesus said, take that off of him and let him go. And we're to do the same thing for people today. When we call them out of their tomb, we're to take off the things that bind them, to help them, to let them go. Not just throw up a prayer and walk away and hope it worked. On Sundays when we have prayer concerns, that's we should be speaking with authority to those prayer concerns. Taking authority in the name of Jesus. Because he gave us the power over every disease and infirmity. He gave us the power to raise the dead. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, no longer conform to the pattern of this world. And it goes on to say, but be renewed. Lean on a generous. Wait a minute. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. No longer conform to the pattern of this world. Don't do things the way the world does it. Forget about the solutions the world has to offer. You've got something better. You've got the power of Almighty God who can raise the dead. You've got that. So be transformed. Be resurrected by the renewing of your mind. By feeding data into your mind about Jesus. Program your mind with things about Jesus. The scriptures. And the stories, the music, the praise, and the worship. And then live life to the fullest. Luke chapter 1, verse 37. What does it say? Nope, not that one. Close. We studied it all last month. It was our memory verse. Okay, but Luke 1:37 says, no word of God will ever fail. No word of God will ever fail. Program your mind with the word of God. Trust in the Lord with your whole heart. Lean not on your own understanding. And speak the word with authority. Lazarus, come forth. Take authority over these situations in your own life and in somebody else's life. That's what the story of Lazarus tells us. Remember, Jesus, he said, those things that I've done and greater things you will do. My question is, do you believe? Do you believe that? I want to close with this. There was a professor who was teaching his students the laws of physics. And the professor was a great guy. He was a lot of fun. He made class interesting. Some of the students got together and decided to perform an experiment. And so these students went to class, which was held in a big auditorium, and they put a cable up in the ceiling. And this big steel cable came down, and on the end of that steel cable, they hung a 200-pound piece of jagged metal. So when all the students showed up and the professor came, there up on the stage was hanging this 200-pound piece of jagged metal. And the professor said, oh, what's this? And the student said, we want to do an experiment. Will you help us? Professor said, sure. And so they asked the professor to sit in his chair on one end of the stage. He did. And then some of the students grabbed that jagged piece of metal and they pulled it all the way back across the stage until it touched the professor's nose. And the one student said, now we're about to find out about the law of gravity and diminishing returns, which the professor has taught us. And the students let go of that jagged piece of metal. And that metal went whoosh across the stage. It arced all the way up as high as it could go. And then it paused for just a moment. Whoosh! And it came shooting back right at the professor sitting in his chair. And right before it got to the professor, he dove out of his chair. Now he knew, according to the laws of diminishing return and gravity, that that piece of metal won't come back as far as it did the first time. It wouldn't have reached him. And the whole class cracked up, and the student on the stage said, does the professor believe in what the law of diminishing returns is? And they said, no. You see somebody suffering, somebody in a grave, wrapped in grave clothing, bound up by the things of this world. Do you believe that you can say, Lazarus, come forth? and they'll be set free. That's what the Word of God says. God loves you, and so do I. Let's stand and sing. I don't want us to be mamby-pamby Christians. The world needs us to be bold in our faith, to stand up and take authority. Things are not always what they appear to be. We can call things to life in the name of Jesus for God's honor and glory and praise, guided by the Holy Spirit. Be bold. Be bold in your faith. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. Draw near unto God, and God will draw near unto you. Dear Heavenly Father, pour out your Spirit upon us. Take us, Lord, to the tombs around us. Give us the boldness to proclaim your word, to say, Lazarus, come forth. Help us to speak words of life to those who are bound up in grave clothes. And we do it for your honor and glory and praise. In Jesus' name we ask this. And all of God's children said,
Amen. Amen.